A Senate committee has laid out sweeping principles it will use to work on global warming legislation this year. The aim is to control greenhouse gases. At the same time, lawmakers are looking to create jobs and keep the U.S. economy competitive. There's no question it's a tall order. There are questions as to whether it's the right framework for addressing climate change. NPR's Richard Harris spoke to one academic who argues for a different approach.
Dan Sarewitz is an unassuming, slightly rumpled scientist who works out of an unassuming, slightly scruffy office in Washington, D.C. He runs an outfit called the Consortium for Science Policy and Outcomes, based at Arizona State University. And he's trying to figure out a better way to change the way the world uses energy.
This is really the metabolism of modern industrial society, our use of energy. And changing that system is not about replacing a few technologies or advancing our level of efficiency along certain fronts.
It means creating a whole new basis for the global economy. Sarewitz is skeptical that politicians can deliberately manage a transformation of that scale, either through legislation or through climate treaties. He says, for starters, measures that will ultimately force everyone to pay more for energy are doomed, both economically and politically.
Politically, what you're asking people to do is to pay a huge upfront cost for benefits many decades down the road that they can't even anticipate or predict. And that is politically an extremely difficult sort of situation to manage.
Harder still, considering that Americans rank global warming at the bottom of their worry list, according to a January poll by the Pew Research Center for People and the Press. And even if the public became passionate about climate change, Sarewitz says it's hard to imagine how they would warm to the idea of making carbon-emitting fuels prohibitively expensive. Just try to imagine how much that would cost.
The economic dislocation that would be created by getting to that sort of level would absolutely be immense. And it's easy to be casual about that, or it's easy to pin that kind of argument on conservative Republicans or on the executives of oil corporations. But nevertheless, it is absolutely true that you would be talking about something that would be completely destabilizing to global economies.
Okay, enough of the bad news. Sarewitz isn't a naysayer or a cynic, but he has been trying to think of another way to deal with climate change. To do that, he's looked back in history to see how we managed other major transformations. One example is agriculture. The United States government created a highly successful century-long effort to make food more abundant and affordable.
And it didn't do so by setting any particular target or timetable. It did so by investing in research, in development, and in very importantly, in institutions.
For example, the Agricultural Extension Service, which brought together researchers to tackle the big problems and farmers to put the solutions to work quickly. The key to all of it was speeding up innovation. And the good news is none of this required an ugly political or public debate. That's the model Sarewitz would like to use for climate change.
The idea really is to take the political heat off of climate change and instead move this into the realm of policy wonkdom, where many, many small decisions made across many agencies, many types of policies, many domains, set the conditions for moving in the right direction without demanding that people accept that this is the most important problem in the world.
Sarewitz is now hard at work trying to identify what institutions we need to drive that transformation in the coming decades. The ultimate goal is to make renewable energy about as cheap as fossil fuels. Otherwise, there's little hope that the nations of the world will agree to tackle climate change. Sarewitz knows the Obama administration won't abandon its current path to craft climate laws and a treaty.
But there's no reason why they can't at the same time, and I'm hopeful that they will at the same time, understand that the real action is going to be on the innovation front.
And, he adds, there's no time to lose. Richard Harris, NPR News.